This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Tech Talk time, and it's also Thursday. Gabby Go from
Hello.
Digital News Asia joins us today. Of course, we're going to look at the ecosystem, the tech ecosystem.
That's right.
You've got a lot of stories. We had to cut out a few, but we're going to start with what? MOL IPO.
That's right. That's pretty much the biggest news of the week, I think, for the tech industry. Now, the fact that MOL wanted to list is kind of like a, I guess you could say, an open industry secret, you know? So they finally made it official when they released their prospectus and all that. So, you know, big congratulations to Ganesh and the team for trudging the IPO journey, as they call it. And more details will obviously come out about it when they officially list sometime in September on the NASDAQ stock exchange.
Right.
So just to give those who did not follow the story a bit of information about it. So the listing is expected to raise up to $300 million. Right. Obviously, the final amount has yet to be determined. And so we had, you know, two excellent stories this week about the MOL IPO. One by Karmjit, who did an insights piece about, you know, how far the Ganesh and MOL has come since the early days of his entrepreneurial career. And then we had a second equally excellent piece by Tian Yu, who, as they call it, he scrubbed the numbers in the prospectus. So for guys out there interested in finding out more details about the MOL IPO, I highly recommend you head to the site and read those stories in full, because I will definitely not do it justice here on radio.
Okay, so congratulations. The $300 million in the raising exercise, preliminary prospectus. And
If you're wondering what they're going to do with the money, according to the to Tian Yu's scrubbing, you know, approximately $30 million. Will be used to repay debts. Now, these debts comprises 29.3 million ringgit it owes MOL Global Singapore in the form of interest-free advances when it acquired companies like GameSultan, Pay2Go, Rixty, and Zest. It also plans to settle part of its 68 million ringgit revolving credit facility it has received from MDV, which is Malaysia Debt Ventures, which is an arm of the government that plays the role of debt financier for companies in strategic industries. Now, about $25 million will be used to increase its beneficial ownership in its subsidiaries, namely MOL Thailand, GameSultan, MyCNX, according to the company. And obviously, a chunk of that change will be used to expand to new markets and accelerate growth as well. So,
okay,
interesting times ahead. September is going to get pretty noisy, I believe.
Okay.
And this is great. Great for the Malaysian tech ecosystem, for the internet industry and all that. It's been a long journey for MOL. We're talking, I think, close to, 16, 17 years since Ganesh first embarked on this journey. So, you know, goes to show, Malaysia's got heavy hitters.
Yeah. And I mean, he was faced a lot of criticism in the beginning as well.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I guess you will continue to get criticism no matter what you do.
Yes. Thick skin helps.
The second one, what? Internet did not kill the TV star.
Yeah, so TNS released a new research study about the digital consumption habits of users around the world. Now, in this Connected Life study, they polled and surveyed over 55,000 internet users worldwide. And, you know, you keep saying, you know, television's dying, you've got, you know, online video now, you've got, you know, you can do everything from your tablet. Why are you going to sit down in front of a TV and watch something? But it turns out we still can't let go of that TV just yet, according to TNS. The study found that almost half or 48% of people watch TV evening. But here's a new phenomenon. They're calling it screen stacking. Have you done this before, Frida? You're sitting at home in the living room. The TV is on. You're watching it.
Yes.
But you're also on your tablet.
Yes.
You're also on your phone. So
yes,
while something's on. Yeah. So that's the new phenomenon it is now. And what's interesting,
without you having to explain.
Yes.
Yes.
You know what screen stacking is. One of the few kind of jargons that you don't need to go into. And what's interesting is that the Asia-Pacific region is ahead of this trend, with 54% of people across the region taking part in such activities. Now, it peaks at 79% in Japan, not too surprising, 37% in China. In Malaysia, it's 50%. of people taking part in screen stacking activities while watching TV. Now, the survey also found that Malaysians now own approximately 4 digital devices each.
Mm.
Although we own less devices than Australia, Germany, and the UK, where those guys have 5.
Whoa.
How many devices do you own, Frida?
3.
Hey, yeah. I have 2. Okay. But then again, I'm on a budget. Well, I'm not a budget. I'm just broke. Okay. So never mind.
But I just use 2 a lot more. That's it. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, the third one's the backup, right? Just in case, you know, it falls into the toilet bowl or you run over it with your car. Oh.
So less in Australia, Germany, and the UK. Interesting. Okay.
Then there's also, you know, what's the other thing fueling this, the screen stacking is the demand for TV and video content on the go. So the desire to access TV shows at all hours a day, according to the survey, 25% of those surveyed now watch content on the PC, laptop, tablet, or mobile daily. This rises to almost 2 out of 5, or 38% in Malaysia, 33% in China and Singapore, and 32% in Hong Kong, where phablets are increasingly popular. I'm just surprised phablets are still around. Phablets. Those things are just awkward. Great with people with big hands, though, I would say.
Okay, I guess.
Yeah. And yeah, so despite this surge in all this online digital content consumption, traditional TV sets still play a huge part in our lives. 3/4 of respondents, or 75% globally, and 73% in Asia, are sitting in front of the TV every day. In Malaysia, it's 67%.
Mm, so TV dinners are alive and well.
Huh? Hooray for TV dinners!
Okay, so but I'm not surprised though. I mean, I guess if you want to watch a show, at the end of the day, you still want the big screen effect, you know, a bigger screen effect anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just like, oh, I'm just so desperate to find out the ending, then I would resort to the smaller items.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
but generally, if you want to, you know, relaxed, you still want to watch the TV.
I don't know. I think it depends on whether or not I want to sit on my couch or lie in my bed. Because I don't have a TV in my room, alas.
Okay.
But
I highly discourage that too. Anyway, up next we want to talk about PR firms and CSR. Adopt a startup.
Yes, and us. This one's by Asohan.
And of course, there is cyber stalking, harassment, and road rage.
Oh, that's going to be good.
All after this. Tech Talk BFM 89.9.
Breakfast for Masters. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk. This is Frida Liu together with Gabby Goh from Digital News Asia. We're going through the tech ecosystem. We've discussed a couple of things earlier on. A lot. MOLs, IPO, and then also, was that again? Screen stacking. We all do that. Okay.
Indeed.
And of course, now we're talking about PR firms, right? Why not adopt a startup or two? And no, we agreed we'll play good cop, bad cop. But it's not really agreeing. I mean, there are many points.
But just to give the background to this today's topic, this was actually inspired by a opinion piece that Aswan wrote after he went for a assignment. Now, this is where we all would like to take a moment to just giggle at the fact that Asohan was covering a fashion event.
Oh, okay. That's that moment. Okay.
Yes. And so his experience was there was a startup who pitched at the event, and for him, he didn't get what the startup was about until at the very end.
Mm.
And even then, he kind of had to think about it. So that got him thinking, along with other incidences, about the fact that startups still, and this is a topic we've raised multiple times on the show and in our own panel discussions at DNA, about the fact that startups, especially in Malaysia, need PR help when it comes to communicating and crafting the messages and how they present themselves. So Asohan proposed, you know, that perhaps PR agencies or maybe even the PR association can maybe look at doing in the form of like a CSR exercise, devote 1% of your time to adopting a startup, do pro bono work and help them polish up, shape up.
Okay,
and
so
step out.
Just not getting the key messages across, not getting the whole idea behind whatever you're trying to say.
Yes.
Well, my opinion is that, you know, if you get something for free, you won't appreciate it. This is business. And I can understand if it's an NGO or a social enterprise, perhaps, that they do something for pro bono. But if it's a business, these are the investments you've got to come up with. You know, do you realize that you need PR help? Okay, that's one, first of all, okay? And if you do realize it is business. You got to plan for it in your budgets.
See, my counter argument to that is that, you know, obviously the startup
must... It's
not
charity, it's business.
That's true. Go on. But I would argue that, first of all, obviously, you know, the cost of execution for certain activities, the startup should pay for it within a reasonable budget. But we're talking the pro bono bit, like, you know, your consultancy fees, your bill by the hour stuff, you know, to waive that for a startup. So the benefits of it, look, I have many friends in PR and stories about horrible, unappreciated clients are abound.
Yeah.
Now, yes.
And they're paying. Imagine when they're not paying.
No,
they're
here's what I argue.
They're not even going to listen.
No, here's what I argue. Okay. That this is it would be a great change of pace for all those jaded PR practitioners out there. Because I can guarantee you this. Apart from a few rotten apples, which you can't avoid anyway, I can guarantee you that the startups that you adopt or are working with are appreciative and they value your time and effort, because for many startups and many entrepreneurs, this is a whole new world. This is like a parallel alternate universe for these people. Mm. And when it comes to thinking about public relations or just communications and branding and messaging, so they will appreciate. And in an early stage startup, the very fact that they appreciate, because they're fighting for everything. They're right. thinking they have a limited budget. They have to convince people to join them, to support them and everything else. And they will be very, very appreciative. Yeah. And they will listen because they want to learn. The one key characteristic about all startup founders is this desire to learn, because okay. they know they're stepping into a whole new world. So, you know, if anything, it may help the sanity levels of some very, very stressed out PR practitioners to have a client who says, and a clean slate. Because remember, when you're yeah. talking about big clients that do pay, you're dealing with legacy messaging and all that stuff. This yeah. considers a chance to work, to shape something from day one.
And it'd probably be a pitching exercise, a pitch to the PR company or the PR association, whatever, that, you know, I do need mentoring.
Yeah.
Right, but you've got to justify why I get the mentoring. And I guess on the side of the deal is, if we were to mentor you, you would listen to what we have to say.
Startups are used to getting mentored and listening all the time. They get, you know, especially the guys in the incubators, accelerators, you know, week in, week out, they got a slew of mentors talking about business strategy, market expansion plans, channels and stuff like that. So, you know, they'll listen because they want to. They need these channels of support and learnings, because how else are they going to go from step one to step two to step three and beyond? So PR association out there, consider adopting a startup.
Adopting a startup. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. That's my hat, my piece. You had your piece. This, what is this last story, Akela? We all know now.
So, yeah. So this is actually obviously a last minute addition to today's lineup, just because the story came out today. This is an opinion piece by Feng Chen-Nong, who's a IP lawyer. IP lawyer by day, blogger, writer by night, you know, one of those deals. And he writes...
Like Batman.
Yeah, so he writes an ongoing... He's got a regular column with DNA. We're very happy to have him on board. And the column, of it's called, I love this name, Brit and Kaya.
Okay.
And today's column is about cyber stalking, harassment, and road rage.
Okay.
So he was inspired to write this because of a recent case of a blogger complaining that she had been harassed and stalked by a fan. And that got him thinking about the law in Malaysia with regards to stalking and harassment. Now, he says that obviously this would depend on the acts of the stalker, and there is no specific Malaysian law that criminalizes stalking and harassment, but there are provisions of law that prohibit certain actions that border on stalking and harassment.
Okay.
So, for example, hacking into someone's computer or mobile device or online account or installing any tracking software is a crime under the Computer Crimes Act of 1997.
Okay.
Now, sending threatening messages to harm a person, depending on content, may amount to a criminal offense under the Communications and Multimedia Act of 1998 or Section 503 of the Penal Code. And also, breaking into someone's home amounts to trespass, such as, you know, installing a closed-circuit TV, as in the Nasha Aziz case. So, he does say, you know, a police report would be useful to ward off these people, but not all reports will be acted on. Sometimes, no threat is made. There's only persistent annoyance. Now, he does issue a call in this column, and he says that, you know, because the thing is this, many victims suffer in silence.
Right.
They choose to ignore their stalkers, hope they go away. Sometimes this works out, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And he is advocating that our parliament should introduce a new law to criminalize stalking harassment. So Singapore recently introduced the Protection from Harassment Bill 2014, and this new law is supposed to provide protection from harassment and antisocial behavior such as stalking through a range of civil remedies and criminal sanctions. And he says it's time for the Malaysian Parliament to look into this before it's too late.
Okay, so here it says, I was just reading here about a case where a person will call someone several times a day, in some cases keeping silent or even making heavy breathing sounds.
Yeah.
You can do something against that?
Let's have a look.
Okay, and it was not a threat, but merely... Okay, so I'm just wondering whether you could, you know...
No, the police could not take any action because there was no threat involved.
Jeez.
Because the thing is, from the law enforcement side, they can only act if it's a credible, you know, the phrase credible threat. So they need that kind of evidence in the form of, like, you know, messages like, I'm going to kill you and your
he
dog
said,
too.
Right, in such cases, I think the police should take proactive action by contacting the alleged stalker and warning him against pursuing the matter further. A lawyer's letter of demand may be useful too.
Yeah.
If all else fails, a restraining order may be obtained from the courts.
Yep.
Okay.
So that's true. And obviously the hot topic of the week, which was the Kuantan Road Rage case. So he was asked whether doxing, which is the term or document tracing by netizens, amounts to harassment. So when you talk about doxing, this is when people with the skills go online and they hunt out every possible piece of personal information on the target in question. Now, obviously, you've seen the blow up over the week.
Yep.
The cry that, you know, the Malaysian netizens uncovered her in less than 24 hours. How come our police force can't do the same? You know, that usual thing. So you saw it, you know, shared all over social media. They shared her name, her company name, pictures, created Facebook pages, memes, obviously. Some even start bombarding her mobile phone with SMSs, left numerous comments on her company's Facebook page. I mean, I did not see those photos, and I will obviously choose not to share, but people were also posting photos of her house.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So, you know, and he said that... there's no specific law to govern harassment, as it's difficult to determine whether such acts amount to harassment without a legal definition. But in his personal opinion, there is nothing wrong in exposing the identity of the driver to the public because she had posted her own personal information online. There is no expectation of privacy with respect to that posted information. Now, the Personal Data Protection Act of 2010, or PDPA, only applies to commercial transactions. But the extraction of her personal information through her license plate number may be an issue if someone had unlawfully taken it from a company's database. Now, some messages that were posted may also be subjected to the Communications and Multimedia Act of 1998 on criminal definition. Tracking her home address and taking photos of it may be considered a form of harassment.
Right.
Now, she also has rights, that is copyright, to the pictures that she has taken, selfies especially, but she will not have rights to her modeling pictures if those were taken by a photographer. In that case, the photographer retains the rights to those pictures.
Wow.
So
it's that fine line. Okay, fine, your name is on Facebook. Okay, people can find you.
Yep.
But, you know, how do we get hold of, you know, where you live?
It is actually ridiculously easy to dox someone. But you can buy... the toolkit. It's literally a like doxing for dummies. You can go on certain websites, you just pay, and you get the whole software kit. They're making it ridiculously easy because everything's kind of pre-programmed.
And that
you just have to put in the victim's name or email address, and you're good to go.
So that's got into the, you know, almost, you know, it's, you know, invasion of privacy already.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, interesting piece. I think, you know, people should read the article, Bread and Kaya, Cyber Stalking, Harassment and Road Rage, and all all the other articles in Digital News Asia.
Yes, yes.
Gabby Goh from Digital News Asia, right here on Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.